Coffee and Books today on Scribble.
Welcome to Scribble, 30 minutes of conversation, comments, and reviews on reading and writing, editing, publishing, and selling books. I'm Roald Tweet.
And I'm Don Wooten. It's been about 3 years since Brood Books opened. We'll ask Anthony Fuse how things are going on Scribble. How are things going, Tony? I mean, you're operating a used bookstore in a time of COVID. Isn't that a bit demanding?
Yes. things are going about as well as could be expected. What I tell people is that we are surviving. We are going to make it through the virus, whatever, and come out the other end. We were looking at more specifically how we were doing the other day, and it looks like we're about where we were in the summer of last year,
mm-hmm.
before we got to the fall, which was pretty good for us, and then the pre-caucus season was good for us too, and then the virus hit and we went through what everybody else went through.
Okay, well, we're recording this and it'll be being aired on the Saturday after Thanksgiving, so that's a day for local businesses, so we encourage people to think about Brood Books. The idea of Brood Books, your original thing was to have a cup of coffee and books in the same establishment. How has that developed?
Pretty much like that, especially if you think about before the virus, we had established a pretty regular group of people that wanted to come in. They wanted to have their coffee or pastries, and they wanted to sit in a nice environment and enjoy their coffee and their pastries. Some would bring their own book, actually. Some would bring a computer, you know, a laptop, etc. We have a lot of students that come in and study and everything else. But it's worked out actually very much like we envisioned it. We had anticipated that the books would make a very nice environment and backdrop for a coffee shop. And that has happened. We get comments on that all the time. But we are maintaining a certain percentage of our income from the sale of used books, which is what we had hoped to do.
Yeah, but the business of serving coffee, how have you had to adjust that?
Since what we're really selling is the environment and the experience, we have not been able to respond as well as some of the other coffee shops. The coffee shops that had drive-throughs, they were able to find a niche in the post-COVID era, just like for some of them, just like they were before it hit. But for some of them, they doubled down on their drive-through. They developed a sort of ad hoc drive-thru.
Right. Did you have to quit entirely for a while?
Were
you always open?
We were always open.
Okay.
Because we are a coffee shop.
Right.
And the coffee shops were never closed for takeout.
Right.
So mm-hmm. we, for a while, were just a takeout coffee shop when the bookstores were closed.
Okay.
We actually had to tell people, no, you can't peruse the books. You can't buy a book. I can't sell you a book. You can buy coffee if you take it with you to go. Then about the same time, I think, the bookstores were opened and the coffee shops were opened for seating if you distanced your seating. Mm-hmm. And that was also a challenge for us, but we found a way to do that. We have the plexiglass. Our servers all wear masks. We sanitize everything frequently. Wash our hands frequently, which we already did, but you know we've taken virtually all the actions that all the restaurants have had to take. We don't have outside seating, which was also unfortunate. I would have liked very much to have figured out how to make that happen too.
Of course, now that we can have the cold weather outside seating,
is not
an option for anybody.
Right.
It must be interesting, you know, to I know I've always worked for a salary. I've never been, 1 year when I ran for the Senate, I had to work on my own. And I thought, boy, I'm glad I don't have to do this all the time. Because it's tough. It's really tough. And you never know what's going to happen. Who knew that COVID was going to come along and change everything? And you have to keep adjusting. How has that been?
It's been hard for us. We have adjusted. We figured out how to have our seating inside, but distanced and not in the way of the people who are looking at the books. That was a challenge for us. We couldn't just slide everybody up against the walls, you know, and spread them out because the walls were bookshelves that people were going to be trying to get to. So we ended up putting them in the back where we have been doing some renovating, and we don't have books back there yet. So we put them in the renovated area, spread them out. But you're exactly right. We had a plan, as everybody does, I'm sure. And this is not it. We are going to basically see ourselves as just taking a year off from that plan and trying to tread water for a year. And at the end of the year plus, probably, then we'll reset off on that plan again.
Yeah, it's really hard when nature is not cooperating. And certainly now that there is another surge building, it makes it even more difficult.
Yeah.
What do you think about this? This was something you planned, as I recall, to spend your retirement doing. Is that right?
Right. And that's another reason that we're doing, that we're not in danger of closing down. As a retiree, I have a pension, and I also own the building, and so the fact that we have rental spaces upstairs also means that we aren't as dependent on the income from the business, the books and the coffee, as some other places might be. But yeah, as a retirement, this is I have done some fantasizing about what retirement would look like if I hadn't done this, and I don't know if it's better or worse because I assume I would be more isolated than I am. I mean, going to a coffee shop every day and meeting, you know, a certain number of people, not as many maybe as we would like or as we expected, but some people every day is a risk. And it is, regardless of how much plexiglass you put up. And so I could see myself being a stay-at-home, have a bunch of wood projects or something, you know, but that isn't how it turned out. And so instead what it is nursing the business through this time frame.
Well, you know, it's once you invest in a business, then keep maintaining that in spite of all gets to be a real challenge. And it's interesting that in retirement you're having to meet this kind of challenge. But what is it about bookstores? What is the attraction?
It's kind of hard to put into words. I'm sure other people have put it into words better than I do, but it is just an enjoyable environment to be in with a lot of books. There's something about having that much information, knowledge, whatever you want to call it, surrounding you. And I get in the era of the internet, you have that much information in your pocket, but it's not the same. And you see that in the people that come in too. We regularly get people, not just regulars, but people who haven't been in there before. Sometimes from out of town, like there was a guy that was driving across the United States the other day, wanted to kill some time in a place that had Wi-Fi, and we ended up being that place for him.
How does a person like that find you?
Google.
Oh, okay.
Pretty much. I asked that question because I'm very interested, you know. And there are some other ways, but Google is by far the best way, and any business these days has to take some effort to make sure that they show up on some Google list somewhere. But yeah, you can see that on the customer's face that they come in, they see the books, and they're just kind of in their environment. They like being amongst the books.
Do you have much churn in books? Do you buy and sell? How does that work?
Right now we aren't buying. We are still struggling, partly because of the renovations, to be able to know what books we have, to have them in some sort of database. I feel like we had the same conversation 3 years ago, and we're still there. So we don't buy books right now. We do get a number of donations. We have people who are getting rid of home libraries, who are doing various things. And I'm sure in the boxes of books that they give us, there are, you know, a handful of books that we would buy from them if we were in a different situation, or that they could take to one of the other used bookstores and sell. And for a variety of reasons, they just provide us with the books. Part of it, I think, is that it's work to go through your book collection and figure out which ones are going to actually be saleable. And part of it is people care about whether we continue to stay in business. And they like being part of our success. And we've had people say that. We've had them come in and order coffee and say, the virus hasn't affected us financially. We would like to see you guys make it through, so we're going to come in and buy coffee regularly.
Yeah, I think that's one of the pluses of the, you know, is that there is goodwill around.
Yeah.
Yeah, you hate to see any bookstore close of any kind.
Right. Yeah.
You'd like to see bookstores open. I went on the internet to look up used bookstores in the Quad Cities, and it listed 19. And I thought, that's not right. There are 19.
No, I don't know of 19.
No, I know we've talked to the Source Bookstore and the Book Rack and Brood Books, and there may be others, but I don't know of them. And that's why in this atmosphere we want to talk to all of you to see how you're doing, to be sure that you continue to keep going. Brood Books, that is a nice combination of having coffee, pastry, and books. And it's good to know that you're maintaining a clientele. What happens if we have to go through another closing?
For us, we will continue to provide coffee to go, maybe do a better job of that than we did for the last closing. But I just read an article about independent bookstores in general in the United States and how they were hit. And another closing, we're going to lose some bookstores. I mean, there's just no way around that.
Well, we don't want to lose any more, that's for sure.
Yeah. And that doesn't mean to say that another closing might not be the right action. And that's another thing. We feel guilty trying to get more people to come to our store because we don't want to become a place that people come and then find that they're gonna that there's too many people or we didn't take the right actions.
And yeah, so you don't want to be a hot spot.
Right.
At the same time, it really is not that difficult to maintain some kind of rational behavior that would protect you. If you wear a mask whenever you're around people, if you socially distance, if you remember to wash your hands after different interactions, you should be okay. But that depends on everybody cooperating.
And if I could say something positive about the younger people, I think get a kind of a bad rap, maybe deserved, maybe not in general, that they don't necessarily follow the regulations as well. And our specific experience with St. Ambrose, Palmer, and Central students is that as they come in the store, they're digging a mask out of their pocket. They're going to put it on and they're going to wear it until they get seated at their socially distanced table, just almost without exception.
Do you get a lot of students from around the area, Ambrose?
Yeah, we do.
Palmer, do you?
Yeah. That's a large.
And are they just looking for an atmosphere to sit and have coffee, or are they looking for books too?
They're mostly looking to study. They want the Wi-Fi.
Okay.
They need to work on their schoolwork.
Right.
And they just want a slightly different place to do it in rather than their dorm room or
right.
a library.
Right.
What's interesting is when I went to Ambrose, right on the corner there was a popular ice cream shop.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we went. And I thought, you know, it's a few blocks away from the college, and yet we go there. That was the place to be. And you're just a couple doors down from that.
Yep.
So it's interesting to know that the students are still fanning out in that direction. But the whole business of maintaining any kind of establishment has to be very interesting. Do you get much time off?
Nah. One of the reasons we're succeeding is because one of our baristas found a better job. And we didn't replace her because with the virus, that would have been ridiculous. And so my son and I are covering a lot of the hours. And I really don't. One of us, between my son and I and the one barista we have left, has to be there all the time. And like I get one or two days off a week, you know, we split it up. But no, I'm at the store just way more than I thought I would. And the
so much for retirement.
Right. No, exactly. And then the business running stuff, sitting at a computer, working with numbers way beyond what I ever wanted to, even as an engineer, is you're right. It's a lot more intense.
Well, it's, you know, it's work that I'm glad you're doing. And, we are happy to promote it because Scribbled, you know, we've talked to an endless number of authors and poets and columnists and editors and even publishers and booksellers. All are tied in that wonderful project of getting reading material out so people can enjoy it. But with, what is the number roll, 300,000 or something like books a year?
700,000.
700,000, oh boy.
Last year. Publishers Weekly in August published a list called the 834 best books coming out this fall.
Yeah, I believe that.
Well, 834 best books.
Yeah, in all the different categories. Besides coffee, what do you have at the? You said pastries.
Yeah, we have a woman. Her business is Whisk QC, Whisk with an H. She provides us pastries on a regular basis. She's very good. We've had very positive response to that. And then we have all of the coffee drinks that you would find at a coffee shop, including, like, for instance, we have smoothies.
Okay.
We have some soda, not very much. All of the hot and cold and blended coffee drinks.
Okay. How about tea?
We have tea. I'm glad you brought that up.
I guess.
We have not only a wide selection of tea bags, but we also have some tea that doesn't come in tea. Loose leaf. We also have some loose leaf tea. And we have very positive responses to our tea also.
Oh, good, because I'm a tea drinker. My father was so disappointed in me because I never drank coffee.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, he was a coffeeholic, that's for sure. But I was given my first taste of coffee and thought, no. First taste of tea, yes.
I grew up not drinking coffee. My mom was multiple cups of black coffee every day, and she didn't live long enough to see the store open, but she would have loved it, being able to come in and have a black
coffee.
Well,
you know, caffeine is America's great drug.
Yeah.
It's odd when you look back through history at human beings. We talk about drugs, really bad things, but we've all had access to drugs. There was as a matter of fact, there's a book, I think it's called Pharma, about the origin of the pharmaceutical business. It began making morphine, and then they refined it into cocaine. And then to heroin. These were drug companies that were making this stuff, and it was on the market. And now, of course, those latter drugs are prohibited and some others along the way. But caffeine has remained steady, and it does wake you up.
Yeah.
Which, for a person who's sleepy all the time like me, it's useful. But do you see... You see this running on? Is your son going to take over when you decide you've had enough?
I don't know. We talk about that sometimes. It's hard. That's another thing perhaps about 2020 is I kind of quit looking that far ahead. I'm pretty focused on either today or taking advantage of what I hope will be a much better year next year. But that's one possibility that he would take it over. We also keep open the idea that we will at some point have a barista or an employee that wants to be more involved and become a business operator and owner themselves.
Well, if you ever decide to sell it, there will be somebody who will want to buy it. The desire to own a bookstore, I don't know, is kind of universal. I thought that myself would be nice to have a bookstore. And what I really mean is nice to have a library.
Yeah.
Do you do much reading, Tony?
Not as much as I'd like, partly because I'm covering the store all the time or working on stuff associated with the store. But yeah, I'm reading a book. Actually, I have like, you know, four books that are mid-read somewhere along the line. And before this, I was much more of an avid reader. I had more time. And
as I recall, when you visited us 3 years ago when you were just starting, part of this was the fact that you read a lot. And reading just, it becomes part of your psyche, and the bookstore seems to be almost inevitable for many people.
Well, like you said, you equated it with a library or compared it to a library. I looked around my rec room and said, well, you know, I don't actually have a bookstore level of books, but I've got quite a few books. And so we're kind of on our way anyway. If you read your whole life and you don't do a lot of divesting yourself of your books,
I've looked at my. I hate to call it a library, but when I stop and think about the number of books in my house, boxes of them in the attic, boxes in my bedroom, in a spare room, on the front porch, and then line the shelves, I think, what am I doing? You know, this is crazy, because once you've read a book, you know, Roald is better that way. He reads a book and he lends it to somebody. By the way, do you still have my copy of Deacon King Kong?
My granddaughter has it. You want it back?
At some point, Roald.
That's a really interesting book.
Because I have promised it to others.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, all right. I'll get it back from her.
But, you know, you've read a book, and seldom do you go back and reread it. I reread Lord of the Rings 5 times over an equal number of years. But generally, it's on the shelf and it's there, but there's something about having it around that seems to count.
Yeah.
And it's hard to let go.
Yeah. And it's similar with the environment too. There's something almost physically satisfying about being in a room that has books in
it. There is. And I tried to put my finger on what that is. You know, it's a musty smell, old used books.
Yeah.
But you walk into a bookstore and you just feel different.
Yeah,
I don't know what it is about a bookstore, but yeah, I just feel very comfortable there. And it's as if possibilities are opening up.
Yeah. My brother said that the part about it he wouldn't like is that he doesn't like not having read the books that are around him.
Right.
And so to own a bookstore and to own a large right. area full of books he hadn't read would be a problem for him.
Well, that is it. There's just something about books. And have you ever tried Kindle or Nook or any of those things?
It seems like I tried one of those at one point. And I have to admit, I do a lot of reading on my phone that isn't books. You know, that's right. where I get my news and stuff like that. But I don't know if it's my age or my experience or what, but it's always going to be the book for me.
Yeah, I think that there's just something about the book, the form, and you think back in a time when there weren't books, and you wondered how did people know anything. But today, you know, we have the internet and so on, but it's full of disinformation, full of all kinds of ridiculous things. As I say, the internet moves from the trivial to the venomous, and I don't think there's anything along the way I'm much interested
in. Well, readership on Kindle is in decline.
Yeah.
You know, there was a peak where everybody thought that's going to take over there. We'll have no need for bookstores anymore, and it turns out that's not true. I mean, you know, a couple of years ago, it started going down because there's something about, for me, about a real book.
Yeah, I know. When my wife, you know, became very, very weak and could no longer hold a book, but she didn't want to give them up. So I would buy a book and slice it up chapter by chapter and give it to her so she could continue to read. And when it got to the point where her eyesight was so bad, she had to use a reading glass and go word by word. She would not give up reading.
Wow.
We tried audiobooks, and she listened to some of those, but she wanted to read. I don't know what the compulsion is, but it is a strong one. Mm-hmm. And to keep reading is, well, you know, you think you're going to keep up with everything, but it's almost impossible. Do you carry, in any sense, magazines?
We have some old magazines, some of them associated with household design or decorating or whatever, and more thinking in terms of people who are looking for either for ideas or for scrapbooking and stuff like that. We also have some old National Geographic. But everybody has old National Geographic. I know of a guy who actually is moving, and we couldn't take them, and so he threw away a fairly sizable collection. And
why couldn't you take them?
We just are kind of out of space temporarily. Okay. We have stuff sitting on the floor. It's kind of a mess if you haven't been in there lately. But and we have some comic books, but not very many, because we're right across the street from an actual real comic book store. I mean, the guy has a really nice setup and a lot of comic books. And so if we have comic books, there's stuff that we're pretty sure isn't worth anything, and we just have them as just sitting there. I've thought about magazines because I take Architectural Digest and I take National Geographic at home, and they're going to find their way into the store. But the draw for them is less. If you have a magazine, they'll sit down and read it. But to buy magazines is
They say National Geographics are responsible for most houses sinking. But there's something about the magazine that it has changed over time. And there was a great apprehension when the ownership of the magazine was changed. But by and large, it remains a significant publication. And, of course, I am a magazine junkie. I oversubscribe to magazines. And it interferes with my reading of books, because by the time I'm finished going through the day's magazines, the day is gone, and it's hard to get to books. But between the two of them, boy, there's plenty of stuff to read in this world, isn't there?
Oh, that, just an amazing, ridiculous amount of stuff, yeah.
Do you ever recommend books? I mean, do people come in? And
well, first of all, primarily my dad gets his reading material from the store free of charge, because he's my dad. And I recommend for him. I know what he likes, But yeah, I've had people come in and say, I'm looking for such and such. And if they're looking for a specific title, we look for that title first. If we don't have it, I can recommend something that to me ought to give them the same kind of thing they're looking for.
Well, Tony, we really appreciate you taking time to come over today and Brood Books. Nice little section in Davenport, good business district. And you've been at it for 3 years, so keep it up.
Well, thank you.
Okay, and that'll do it for today. I'm Don Woot with Roll Tweet. That's his name. We'll be back next week for another session of Scribble, and hope you will too.